start with our meeting, hoping that everybody, honorable members, to have a copy of the presentation. We're not going to delay much time except to welcome you. You're one of the entities that will always have an interest to listen on, because we will reflect on some of the things that we are a challenge, not only to the department, but to the country, to the sector as a whole. And there are issues that from time to time we do reflect to you on, to look into them in a particular approach. And I hope some of them, as we'll be going through, we've gone through the report, you'll then be able to reflect on those. And it's not just by coming for presentation, because these processes are processes that I personally believe that they empower us as we conduct our oversight over the department, ministry, right across in the country. So it's quite a very valuable and important information. And your presence here, you must take that presence in that light, that you are to empower us, we are to empower you. So because we are the ones that are dealing with the day-to-day challenges, and you are there to then, well, as scientists, academics, you are there too. But we, at time to time, are assisting one another in moving forward. Having said that, we'll start with the formalities, introduction. And for those that may be coming for the first time, phones are on silent. When we speak using the mic, even with the introduction, with name and surname. Photos are only, cameras are only used by those that are designated to do that by virtue of their institutions which they will, when they indicate, we know that those are the people that are entitled to do that. Questions are only asked by members. Presentation will only be made by the MRSC. Then questions will only be asked by members. If somebody wants to ask a question who is not part of the portfolio committee, when we break for tea, feel free to do that. I'm Lindelwa Tunjwa, I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Yogas Matalama, who's the secretary to the Portfolio Committee. Extreme left, it's Moses, who is part of the research team. Next to him is Lindo Kuhle, who is our content advisor. Next to her is Tuve, who is our researcher. I'll then hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Over to you, honorable members.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Patricia Kompany. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of the Committee on Health. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. My name is Swish Matlala.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nonda Nandumenda, member of the committee. Real to Melissa, can't get myself or myself, the local committee.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Logi Quinchana. I'm the board member of the MRC.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Jeff Mpuhlele, Vice President for Medical Research Council. Thank you.
Good morning. morning, Chairperson and honourable members. My name is Nick Birek. I'm the CFO at the MLC.
Hi, good morning. I'm Nizar Davids. I'm the board secretary at the MLC.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Jukes. I'm the executive scientist at the MLC.
Good morning. I'm Mark Cotton. I'm a board member. I'm an academic from Stellenbosch University, pediatrician.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Alfred Tutla, the Head of Communications at the South African Medical Research Council.
Good morning. My name is Mthodi Mshwana from the Department of Health.
Good morning. I'm Ian van der Merwe, Department of Health.
Morning, everyone. My name is Kaweka Kasama, National Department of Health.
Good morning. Meena Shitiva, PMG.
Okay, thank you very much. Without wasting any time, I will then hand over to South African Medical Research Council to start with their presentation. Thank you.
Good morning again, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. We appreciate...
Sorry for that. Honourable Davids.
Thanks, Chair. I will request to go at 10 to Portfolio Committee Economic Development.
Thank you for that reminder of apologies. We have got two apologies. Honourable Wilson, who is got the challenge of flights. Honourable Gonzo, who has got a family responsibility, and Honourable Mabanga Papanga, who is then in the Agriculture Committee. We've still got a problem of the IT. I just want to check from the Secretariat, is there somebody coming? So that whilst we're waiting, we use our documents that are in front of us. Thank you very much. I don't think that is a problem, honourable members, whilst we are still waiting for some decision.
Thank you, Chair. While we are at apologies, Professor Glenda Gray, the CEO, extend her apologies as well as the chairperson of the board, Mike. I said that they both have commitments and they couldn't be here, but they sent representatives to take us through the presentation. Those were the apologies that we were sent. And I'm hoping that we all have the documents in the meantime. We will start and just to refresh, the MRC is mandated through the Act 58 of 1991 as amended to improve the health and quality of life of all South Africans. This they have to do through research, to fund and conduct the research, and also to give direction in development and technology. And briefly, the MRC was founded in 1969 to conduct and fund the health research and medical innovation. The directive being given through the Department of Health top 10 causes of diseases, and also I must say not necessarily just focusing on those. Sometimes the MRC ventures into research that falls outside the top 10 causes of diseases. An example in place would be the National Survey on NTDs, which has been funded by the MRC. To do this, the MRC also has to collate and acquire the most accurate information to give direction to policy and also to practice in the health sector. The vision being to build a healthy nation through research and innovation, and the mission is to improve the health nation and also the quality of life which is most important, and then by conducting and as well as funding the research that is relevant and responsive to the nation's crisis or health challenges. The scope of the presentation will briefly cover the governance, and it will give an outline of the strategic environment of the SLMRC, and it will provide an outline of the performance during this reporting period, and also highlight how the institution invests in responsive health research and innovation. And also the CFO will provide an outline of the financial performance and the position of the institution. Then we will also outline the human resources. Then we'll give an outline of the strategic collaborations, partnerships and agreements, and then we'll also have an outline on communication and stakeholder engagement, then highlight a few achievements. In terms of governance, the board, as we see in the picture there, is a diverse niche of academics, and it's comprised of 14 members, and you can see in the last, in the following page, one member emigrated to Australia, but then he was reinstated recently to provide the input online most of the time. The institution, like all other institutions, has its own challenges. One that comes key to my mind immediately is the transformation, especially at senior level. But also it has had its own, you know, bright moments. For example, we've had some of our researchers being awarded prestigious accolades. For example, Professor Keaton Dida was awarded the EU-funded award for doing research for research leadership in the diseases of the poor. And the MRC endeavors in acknowledging science has awarded for the first time two black female scientists. And this provides an opportunity to actually see that we do have talent, local talent, and it's an encouraging endeavor. Without taking much time, Honorable Chairperson, I will hand over to our colleagues who will take us through the various sections of the presentation. I will give the Vice President to take us through the next sections of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you once again, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for the warm welcome this morning. We are delighted to be here as the South African Medical Research Council to really give an overview of our annual report, the 2017-2018 annual report. I guess that you will have copies. We do have a copy here, which we'll hand it over to the Honorable Chair at the end of this presentation. And just to say that we also like to appreciate the presence of our board members who are here with us, and all the colleagues from the MRC. So I'm going to really take you through the highlights of the annual report, and I will start from page 8. Which gives a summary of the previous engagement we had with this committee. You will see on page 8 that in the 2017 calendar year, we actually had a fruitful engagement with this committee, starting from May all the way to November. You know, from May, presenting our annual performance plan, and also engaging the committee on a number of strategic discussions as well. So today is no exception. We are engaging this committee on our annual report 2017-2018. On the next page, which is page 9 and 10, we just want to take you through or refresh the committee's about our environment within which we operate. You will recall, as our board member has indicated, that we are guided by the burden of disease in South Africa, but also in the region, because we are part of the African region as well. So we do have the top 10 causes of disease in South Africa, and if you take all these top 10 causes of diseases, you can actually group them into four areas. The first area is the maternal, newborn and child health. Then the second area is HIV, TB, and other infectious diseases, of course. And the third area is the area of NCDs, non-communicable diseases, which we know that they are actually replacing infectious diseases as the most important cause of disease in South Africa. And then we have an area of violence and injury. You will also see on the bottom of page 10 some of the achievements and the challenges related to these four areas. If I can just make some examples here, if you look at the maternal, newborn and child health, which is on the top left, sorry, on the bottom left corner of this page, you will see that we still have a challenge in this area, although we have really reduced maternal mortality, but we are still sitting at 152 deaths per 100,000 live deaths, and this is the figure from 2050. If you look at under 5 mortality rate, although there has been a decline from 80 in 2003 to 34 in 2016, this is not really a gain that we need to celebrate at the moment. So there's still need, much that needs to be done in that area. And then in the area of HIV, AIDS, TB, and other infectious diseases, we all know that we have made some progress with the introduction of antiretroviral treatment. But then it does not necessarily mean that we have really addressed or reversed the burden of the disease. We still have a challenge, and especially where you have got the HIV and TB co-infection, because this is actually the area that is contributing significantly to the burden of disease, and especially the mortality. And then if you look at NCDs, as I mentioned, that this is really an emerging threat for South Africa, and not just for South Africa, for the region and for the world. So at the moment, we are at 19% of all deaths, which were actually recorded in 2012, were due to NCDs. And obviously, this is really a cause for concern. And then if we look at violence and injury, there's been a reduction in this area, especially in the area of interpersonal violence. Between 1997 and 2012, a reduction of about 52%. However, we still see really interpersonal violence at a rate which is not acceptable for the nation. So I think in a summary, this gives you really an overview of the areas that MRC is working in. And the next page, which is page 11, is reflecting on these top 10 causes of disease in South Africa. If you look at number one, HIV is still really the top killer in South Africa. And then if you look at number two, we have got cardiovascular diseases, which are important. And then we have lower respiratory infections, we also have ischemic heart diseases, TB, as we mentioned earlier, diabetes and hypertension, very important NCDs in the country. And then you can see interpersonal violence at number 8, and also road injuries at number 9. And then lastly, we've got diarrheal diseases, which are due to mainly infections. So altogether, these top 10 causes of disease in South Africa, of mortality in South Africa, they contribute to nearly 70% of all deaths that were recorded in 2012. And obviously it means that the other 30%, which does not reflect it, is still important that we need to address. Then I'm moving to the performance for 2017 and 2018. Once again, just to refresh the committee on the strategic goals of the MRC, we are basically operating in four areas. The first area is administration of health research, including the funding, of course. And the second area is about generation of new knowledge. And then the third area is about our investment in terms of innovation and technology. And then the last area is about building long-term capacity for sustainable health research in the country. So these are the areas that I'm going to take you through in terms of our performance. So if you look at the second column on page 14, you will see our strategic objectives, and then the third column is about the indicators, and then the fourth column is about our program performance, and then followed by strategic performance target, which is really a five-year strategic performance target, and then what we have achieved in 2016, 2017, and what we set ourselves to achieve for 2017, 2018, and the actual performance for 2017, 2018. So these are the areas that we will quickly go through, but in summary, I'm delighted to say that we have done exceedingly well in all the areas. We believe that we have definitely exceeded the targets that we have set in our annual performance plan, or we really, you know, operated within the targets if we have not exceeded.
Just sorry for that interruption. The Secretariat is requesting if you can move to that side, because she is to come and do the work so that you are able to, because you are connected now. So sorry, Honourable Members, for that. There is the
Chairperson, I wonder if we can continue to use this. I'm looking at the slides. I wonder if we can read them. Okay. Will you control? Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, I've just noticed that the text on the slides is rather small when you project on the screen, so we do apologize for that. We haven't realized that it would be this small because we have printed on paper and we thought it was all good. All right, so just to continue, going through our performance for 2017-2018. We will now look at the first strategic goal, which is about administration of health research. And here the intent is really to administer health research effectively and efficiently. We have got two indicators. The first one is really about governance, and I'm happy that we are reporting to the committee that we have attained a clean audit, or rather unqualified audit, and the CFO will take us through this area when he's presenting the finances. And then the second part is really about how we maintain our administration, and here we aim to really make sure that the organization remains very lean and most of the money goes into the core business of the MRC, which is about research. So if you look at our target, we would like to really operate within 20% of the total budget, which will be really towards administration costs of the organization. And as you can see, we have operated within the target. We achieved 19% for the reporting period, and then last reporting period was 18%. Then if we go to the next area, which is about generation of new knowledge, I'm happy to report here that we set ourselves to produce or rather publish at least 700 publications for the reporting period, and we have exceeded this target because what we have reported now is 865. And you can also see a year before, which was 660. So we are doing very well in this space in terms of production of new knowledge. And we believe that because we give money to researchers to generate new knowledge, this money is definitely a good investment because they are really producing new knowledge, which is really important to contribute to changing the lives of South Africans, contribute in terms of improving our policies and practices. And the rest of the indicators after this one, from 2.2 to 2.6, these are actually the subset of 2.1. And I mean, we can really go through this, but I think the key indicator here is the one that I've already mentioned under 2.1. So if I go to the third strategic goal, which is about support in innovation and technology development, here we set ourselves to really invest in projects which will generate either new or improved diagnostics, devices, vaccines, and therapeutics. During the reporting period, and our target was 40, and we have doubled this target if you look at the actual performance. And also in the year before, the performance was at 56. So we are really happy that we're doing very well in this space as well. And we have got a new indicator under innovation technology and development, which is really about the number of new or improved diagnostics, devices, vaccines, or and therapeutics, which progressed to the next stage of development. And this is really not an easy area to attain. And you can see even the target was very conservative. It was at 2, and we just made it. We are glad that we just made it, but as I mentioned, this is not really an easy area that you can easily attain. Then the last one, which is about building capacity for the long-term sustainability of health research in the country. This is measured in terms of the number of bursaries or scholarships that we provide to postgraduate students at master's or postgraduate level, and also the number of postgraduate students who actually graduate from their programs. And once again, you will see that we have exceeded the target, which is really good. So this summarizes our strategic goals in terms of performance for the reporting period. And in summary, as I mentioned at the beginning, that we are really delighted to give you this report, which we believe that is the report that we have really attained our targets. So the next part is really to give you the highlights in terms of the areas of investment, who is actually doing the research at the MRC, and who we are funding. If we look at page 16, this gives you a list of all the extramural and intramural research units, which are really long-term investment of the MRC. We know that we're giving funding not only to extramural or intramural research units, but also to other researchers in different universities, but our extramural and intramural research units are our long-term investment, because the extramural research unit has got a potential lifespan of 15 years. And then the intramural research units, these are the units which are housed at the MRC, and the employees are actually the employees of the MRC. So we are investing in these areas so that we can help to address the burden of disease in the country. Maybe just to say that the difference between the intramural and the extramural research units is that our intramural research units are really designed to address mainly the burden of disease which is in the country, and while the extramural research units are complemented in this area, but they've also had autonomy to do blue sky research. So they can innovate, not to say that the intramural research units cannot innovate, but the extramural research units, because they are based in the universities, these are the units which have got the potential to innovate. And this is really the main difference between the intramural and extramural research units. If I move to page 18, which is about our investment in the postgraduate students. So this gives you a snapshot of the students, postgraduate students that we have given funding to. In total, 48 master's and doctoral students were enrolled at different universities, and they were given funding by MRC. And we also have this prestigious program, which we call National Health Scholars Program. It's jointly funded by the National Department of Health and the Public Enhancement Fund, and also the MRC as well. And this is really the Rolls Royce of the scholarships in the MRC, because we are able to really match the salary of a postgraduate student. If we have got a clinician who's got a full-time job at the university and would like to switch that job to become a researcher, we are able to take over the salary of this clinician, so that the clinician can concentrate on the research and become a researcher in the long run. And then we have also have 90 scholarships which were awarded since 2013. This I think is just to give you an idea of how we have invested in the last few years, and we have got 35 students who have graduated from the National Health Scholars Program. So it is producing the results, and is the program that the Minister of Health is really interested in as well. So in 2018-2021 period, we have got a slightly new National Health Scholars Program, and this will be addressing the different disciplines that are still scarce skills in the country. And then on page 20, in terms of transforming our research funding streams, this is related to self-initiated research grants. But I would like you to read page 20 together with page 22. And maybe the best place to start would be page 22. I do apologize for this. We should have corrected before giving you the slide. But page 22 will give you an overview of what is actually self-initiated research grants. These are really the grants which we give to researchers in all universities. And the idea of research is researcher-driven. The researcher has to provide a concept to MRC, and if the concept is competitive, appealing, we then give funding to the researcher. And this slide is really aiming to give you the how this program evolved over the years. For example, if you look at the pictures, you will see that in 2013-2014, when the new executive management started, most of the grants were really going to mainly white researchers. And over time, because we have looked into this program and we've looked at the criteria of awarding the grants and modified the criteria, we were able to accommodate the newcomers and we were also able to accommodate researchers from historically disadvantaged institutions. So in the last 4 years or so, the picture has changed completely. From 73% mainly white researchers who were awarded grants to 37%. And you can see that the other groups have significantly made inroads in terms of getting the grants from this funding port. And if I go back to slide 20, I think this is still conveying the same message. And maybe for the sake of time, I would like to skip this and then go to page 21. So page 21 is about the innovation, our investment in the innovation and technology development. We have got a unit at the MRC which is dealing with grants, innovation and product development. And if you look at the slide, you will see the level of investment that we are really pledging in this program. And most of the money is actually is coming from collaborations with other funders, not necessarily the MRC. DST is doing a lot of investment in this portfolio, and we also have international collaborators from the US, from Europe, and who are also interested in innovation and technology development in this portfolio. So we have got different areas that we invest in. We have got strategic research initiatives. We have got the collaboration between South Africa and the US, NIH, and we also have collaborations with different countries, which are administered through grants, innovation, and product development. So the amount of investment in total, we are looking at almost $250 million. And then if we go to page 23, this is about the financial performance and position of the MRC. So I'm going to pause here and invite my colleague Nick to take us through this part.
Thank you very much. And I'll briefly deal with the financial performance of the organization for 2017-18. There's a summary slide, which is page 24, which really deals with the key issues. If you look, for the first time, our revenue hit the billion rand mark, so it was up 6.7% from 2016-17. And interestingly enough, our government grant did decline. So it went down by 6.5% to 539 million. But the real increase was in our contract income, 27.8%, which went up from 360 to 461 million. That makes up nearly 46% of our total income is derived from grants from foreign institutions and other institutions investing in medical health, and I think that's our strategy in terms of leveraging funds from other organizations to assist us in our health strategy is starting to pay off. With regard to our reserves, the organization remains financially strong. We have accumulated reserves of 289 million, so we are a going concern and remain so. We generated a negative operating cash flow of 11 million. That's to fund the deficit which we generated in the 2017-18 financial year. Operating expenses in line with the increase in income went up by 15.7% to 1097 billion. Of that, collaborative research, which is the investments that we make and the grants that we make to institutions of higher education and other institutions, increased by 8.9%. That reflects the growth in the high impact award. So despite the reduction in our baseline grant, we've been able to continue to grow our collaboration expenditure. If one looks, drills down further, the employee-related costs increased by 18% to 359 million. That's made up of basic salary costs up by 14.7. Of that, the increase granted to staff was around about 7%. So the difference was basically the filling of vacant posts and also the employment of temporary staff to assist with our contract, delivering on our contract requirements in terms of our contract income. And then also we had to provide for an additional cost on the balance sheet of 10 million rand as a result of the employee benefit obligations. So we have pension fund and medical aid. Unfortunately, our liabilities, increase in medical inflation and salary inflation was not matched by the investment performance of the funds in our pension fund. Then moving the next slide, page 25, is just basically a real summary financial performance, and you can see the numbers there again. Revenue for 2017-18 was just on a billion rand, operating costs 1097 billion, giving us an operating deficit of 88 million. Investment income, which is the interest on our cash invested, of 42 million, and then some small other items, giving us a net deficit for the year of 46 million. That's down slightly. We budgeted for a deficit of 66. So we ended up with 46 million deficit for the year, and that, as I say, was funded from our reserves. The next slide, which is the financial performance slide, that pulls out again the highlights. Most of them I've erased already. The last bullet under the revenue slide, I'd like to just stress, we actually booked new research contracts to nearly 500 million rand. So we actually continue to see an influx of funds from other investors. On the expense side, I mentioned the increase in 15.7%, mainly as a result of the collaborative research costs, travel costs up, mainly on the contract income side. The staff cost increase, and then the laboratory operating costs up to 45 million. Those were the costs, mainly costs as a result of our HIV research in KZN. I've got a couple of slides. The next slide, 27, just shows you the trends, just to give you some idea in terms of the revenue. You can see that the blue line, which is our baseline budget, slowed a nice kick in 2014-15, but then 15-16 flattened out, and then 2016-17 has declined, and that's further been eroded by the VAT increase of 14-15%. But then the green line, which as I mentioned is the research contract income, which is our other income, and that's starting to close the gap on the other line. So the two lines there are catching up. And then lastly, our other non-tax income, which is mainly interest received on our investments. Then slide 28 shows you the revenue versus expenditure trends, and you can see that in a perfect world, our income and our expenditure should be exactly equal. We've tried to achieve that, and we've managed to come quite close over the last years, and the 17-18 financial year, we're very close, and with a small deficit, as I mentioned, of 42 million. Then on slide 29, I've just shown some trends there in terms of our expenditure. And you can see that our total expenditure, which is the blue line, has increased significantly in line with our total income. So the most of the income we've received, we've actually managed to get out the door in terms of grants. And the green line, which is the collaborative research, which is the monies that we do fund from grants, has been the main contributor to that increase in growth. And then to a much smaller extent, the employee-related costs have increased, but not in line with the overall increase in spending, which means that most of our spending, the biggest percentage of our spending, is going in grants to institutions of higher education. Then the next slide, page 30, looks at the spending in terms of our strategic objectives. We have The intramural, the research spend, which is a budget of 60% of our total spending, we ended up at 53, which is 37 plus 16%. Innovation, which is the third line there, we ended up at 22% against a target of 19. Capacity development, 2% higher at 6% against 4%. And the corporate and support costs, 19% against 17, although our APP target is 20. So we have come in below the APP at 19%. Then on slide 31, we've just done a brief comparison against our budget for the year. You can see that our actual revenue was 105.1 billion, less a budget of 912, so we did do better on the income side, but we also did slightly higher on the expense side, resulting in the deficit, as I mentioned, of 43 million against the budget deficit of 63 million. So pretty close to our budget at the end of the day. And the next slide, 32, just talks about the variances to budget. And as I say, the main variances was our contract income, which came in 86 million higher. And then on the expenditure side, the main increase was the collaborative expenditure at 513 million, which was 57 million higher. And that was in line with the increase in our contract income. Then on slide 33, just looking at the balance sheet or the statement of financial position, our reserves decreased by 13.8% to 289 million. That was as a result of the deficit and the funding of a capital expenditure. Small decreases in total assets, a reduction in cash to 491 million, although still healthy, various small other items, and then the pension and medical aid liability, which I mentioned, of an additional 10 million rand. On a cash flow side, we managed to generate cash of over a billion, which enabled us to fund our grants program, as well as invest in our capital expenditure of 41 million. Then a slide 34, which shows gives you the trend in terms of our government, our baseline grant, and you can see that from a high in 2016-17 of 577, it is dropped in the current financial year or the reporting period to 530 million, which is 6.5%, which I mentioned, and now remains relatively flat. So in 2018-19, we will be receiving 543 million, which is effectively flat at the same level as 2015-16. So our baseline grant continues to be under pressure. And then just a summary slide on page 35. I mentioned the baseline allocation has decreased by 6.5% and has also been impacted by the VAT. The continuation of the baseline grant together with rollover of accumulated reserves mean we continue to operate as a going concern. We will be budgeting again this year in 2018-19 for another deficit, but in 19-20 our budget is break even. So our reserves will be fund research initiatives over the next period. However, we will not be able to invest in significant new projects due to the decline in our baseline grant. Chair, just to talk about the unqualified audit with findings, I know that people asked me to talk briefly on that. We've received clean audits for the last 5 years. Unfortunately, this year we received an unqualified audit with one finding, which was around local content requirements on procurement. So from a procurement perspective, we are required to request local content for furniture procured. We only requested over 500,000 rand, which our interpretation of the rules, you in fact need to require that from 30,000 upwards. So that was, there was 218,000 rand of that, which unfortunately was a finding in terms of our audit. Apart from that, the audit is fine. We did have made contact with the suppliers concerned, and they did have a local content requirement, so the awards did go to the correct suppliers, even though we didn't request it, the information at the time, and we have fixed that. Chair, thank you. I'll hand over to
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the human resources side, in the period under reporting, we effective career progression and advancement for our scientists in order to ensure that there are opportunities for growing their careers. We also finalized a transformation plan for science in the organization, and it is a 5-year plan which will effectively ensure that we grow more and more scientists, particularly women and black people as well. For the managers trained, we implemented a program to assist our managers in developing skills to manage employer relations in the workplace, and we're already seeing the impact of that in terms of the impact it has on the staff. Our recruitment turnaround time came well below our target of 32 days, and we thought that that was also quite a significant achievement. If we go to the next slide, 38. The demographics of the organization have long reflected the demographics of the country, and we thought to show you in this particular slide the appointments which we've made over a 3-year period. And what you can see in the slide is over a 3-year period we are increasingly appointing more African people. We are also reducing the number of colored appointments commensurate with that, and the appointments of Indian people as well as of white people. And that's just in order to stabilize the appointments. If you look at the next slide on the appointments that we've made by gender, the organization has a really good gender profile. As you can see, currently 73% of our staff are female, while 27% are male. And this just continues to be the trend within which we're working. If we go to slide 40, a question that is often asked is, so what does our profile look like at the senior management level rather than across the entire organization? This we recognize as an area of continued work, that we do need to continue to transform the senior management profile of the organization. Of course, it's made quite difficult in the sense that we have a particularly low turnover in the organization. Our turnover rate is something as low as 0.9%. So the opportunities for being able to transform this are restricted. If we look at the senior management by gender in slide 41, what we see there is that males are slightly more than females at the senior management level. And this again is an area of challenge, and a challenge that we have undertaken quite seriously to ensure that we appoint more and more women into the senior management ranks of the organization. I then want to move you to slide 42, where we'll look at the opportunities which were given for career advancement. And this particular slide shows you how we have evaluated a certain number of jobs as a percentage of the total number of employees. So the blue column is actually the number of employees in each category. The number of jobs evaluated is in the green bar, and the number which were actually upgraded is a percentage of the jobs that were evaluated. And what this shows is that at all the levels, we've tried to give our employees the opportunity for advancement. If we look at the slide 43, we broke down that advancement by race. And what you can see is that we have clearly tried to advance the African employees, followed by the colored employees, and then Indian, and lastly the white employees. And I think what this is part of the internal efforts that we're making to transform the demographics of the organization as well. I'll take you to the last slide, 44, which is on skills development. In essence, this slide is a reflection of the data which we are required to submit to the CETA. And what it shows in the last two columns is that there were a number of interventions requested, and in almost all instances, we delivered double what was requested in terms of training our staff. So I think that we invest a huge amount of money on developing skills within our staff and doing quite well in this area. Thank you very much.
Okay, so thank you very much, Clinton. So this is really the last part of the report. We just like to take you through our strategic collaborations with different countries and funders as well. So the first one that we have on page 46 is really participation of the MRC in the BRICS TV Research Network. And we are really delighted here that the National Department of Health has selected the MRC to provide secretariat support in the TB Research Network. So we serve as a strategic partner to the Department of Health. We participated in a number of events and meetings which were organized by the BRICS, including the National Department of Health, as you can see on the list. And MRC has also hosted a workshop in January this year for the members of BRICS. And once again, MRC was really taking the lead in terms of providing secretariat support. So the next one on page 47 is really collaborations with the different stakeholders. The first one is with the Chinese BGI, and then the second one is really collaboration with the industry and Novartis, and the third area is collaboration in the area of systematic reviews and evidence-based reviews as well in the area of COCRIT, which is a network of researchers. So just going back to the collaboration between MRC and BGI. So BGI stands for Beijing Genomics Institute, is a Chinese, although has got global footprint at the moment. So we had a memorandum of understanding and as well as a memorandum of agreement signed last year and early this year. Then we actually agreed to collaborate in the area of genomics sequencing sequencing capacity because we are actually upgrading our facilities at the MRC so that we can accommodate new instruments and equipment which are geared towards producing whole genome sequencing, and this will be human genome sequencing, and this will be really useful in a number of areas, but our priority area will be in the area of NCDs, especially cancer. But we also see this facility once it's fully up and running, that is the facility that will be really, I would say, an asset to the region. And in fact, we have already been approached by AU because the AU has got Africa CDC. They would like to have more or less, genomics facility for other countries, but they would like to get advice from the MRC because MRC has already done this with BGI, and we are streets ahead. So the other area that we will be interested in, because this is really an expensive, a huge investment from the side of the MRC. What we will also do, we will also see if we can take advantage of this facility to address the idea or the concept of global health or one health, where we look at the application of next generation sequencing in the area of human health, in the area of agriculture, and in the area of industrial biotechnology. So this is what is in the pipeline. So hopefully next year we will be talking more about this collaboration with BGI. So the other area is the tripartite agreement that we have between MRC and Novartis and Department of Science and Technology. So here Novartis has pledged to really continue its contribution in the area of research and development in South Africa. And it has taken advantage of excellent researchers and their research infrastructure in South Africa to really upgrade R&D in their own area as well as the area that will serve South Africa, especially in communicable and non-communicable diseases. For the Cochrane African Network, we do have a unit at the MRC, intramural research unit, the Cochrane Research Center at the MRC, and this unit has been very instrumental in starting an African collaboration with a number of African countries to have this Cochrane African Network. And you know, the main purpose of the Cochrane Center is actually to promote and increase the use of evidence-based healthcare and evidence-informed policy making. So this is the center which will generate reviews, and these reviews are really useful in terms of advising policy makers in terms of introducing interventions which are informed by evidence. So if we go to page 48, this one is giving us highlights of collaborations that we have at global level. We have listed just four, but this is not really all what we have at MRC. We do more than this. But the four that we have listed, the first two, which are really Global Alliance for Chronic Diseases and Healthy Life Trajectories Initiative. These are really global collaborations which are aiming at addressing the problem of non-communicable diseases. The first one, Global Alliance for Chronic Disease, our president, Glenda Gray, is actually the current chair of this alliance. Is an alliance of all big funders, health funders in the world. So MRC is really delighted to be part of this. And then the second one, Healthy Life Trajectories Initiative. This is also a global initiative, and is an initiative that was started by Canada, but at the moment we have got BRICS countries participating in this initiative. Obviously South Africa is part of that, and South Africa is contributing 5 million rand per annum for the next 5 years. And the idea is that the South African money will go to South African projects which are aimed at developing new interventions which will improve the management and the treatment of non-communicable diseases. And then the last two, which are about antimicrobial research or antimicrobial resistance research, we participated to one. Is the Global Antimicrobial Resistance Research and Development Partnership. This is a partnership with the World Health Organization. Once again, MRC is contributing some funding here, and the funding will help to really come up with a research on alternative antibiotics, and also research which can help to address the challenge of antimicrobial resistance at large. We know about HIV and TB being the main two pathogens which have got the highest resistance to current drugs, but these are not the only pathogens which are causing problems, because we have got other important pathogens which are resistant to current antimicrobials. And then we also participate in this European network called Joint Program in Antimicrobial Research Resistance, we are part of the steering committee at the MRC. So this gives you a flavor of our participation at the global level. The next page, on page 49, this is really collaborations with specific countries. We have listed in Africa, Senegal and Sudan, but we also have collaborations with Madagascar, Rwanda, what are the other countries. I may not recall all countries at the moment, but it's definitely more than two that we collaborate with. Nigeria as well. Then for the other countries in Europe, we have got Sweden, but we also collaborate with UK and many other countries. And then in Asia, we collaborate very well with India in a number of areas, including HIV and TB. Then the other part is really our involvement in terms of stakeholder engagement and communication. I'm happy that we have got the head of communications with us today. And if you look at the list on page 51, it gives you really a feel of how MRC is really influencing and impacting the area of health and how this is really appreciated by the media. And I must say that most of our activities and our media is actually generating a positive coverage. Actually, if you see on page 52, in terms of the coverage, you will see that the number of articles which are considered as positive coverage, they are really, they are quite high compared to those who are compared, which are considered neutral or negative. And maybe our communication person will add a little bit more if we have got questions on that in terms of what is meant by negative coverage. Because it's not necessarily saying that this is a negative reflection on the MRC. It's rather about a negative reflection on the issue that is in the media. Then on achievements and highlights, I guess this is towards the conclusions. So we are really delighted that in the reporting period, we were able to really operate within our target in terms of our administrative capacity to provide health research in the country, but also health research with different collaborators and funders that we have at the MRC. And then the other area that I have not spoken about is the area of recognizing the MRC researchers. In the country, we have got a system which is administered by our sister council, the National Research Foundation, which is a system about rating the researchers. So researchers in different institutions, including the science councils, should take advantage of the system. And you will see that at the MRC, we have got 30 NRF rated scientists. And this range from A rating all the way to emerging researchers. And when we started this 3 years ago, we only had 9 NRF rated researchers. So this is really an impressive figure that in 3 years, we were able to triple the number of NRF rated researchers at the MRC. We also have a robust strategic risk register, which is updated on quarterly basis. And this risk register is also presented to our governance section and the board. And we are really at a position where we are able to understand what our risks are and how to mitigate these risks. And as I mentioned, that we have got partnerships and collaborations with the industry, with specific countries, and also with global networks. So this is also another area that we are very proud of. And we have expanded our African footprint. And when we started 5 years ago as a new executive, we were not very proud of the collaboration that we had with African countries. But I can say now that this has really taken a good shape. and we have got a number of African collaborators. And in terms of the plan ahead, especially the transformation plan, we have identified a limited critical mass in health and medical research. As our executive director has already mentioned in the HR report, and we are making a difference in this space because we have got a plan approved, and we are implementing this plan in the next 5 years or so. This is coupled with the augmentation of postgraduate and postdoctoral researchers, of course, and we are doing our best to optimize the posts that we have. We don't just fill the posts for the sake of filling the posts. We make sure that when we fill the posts, this is taking advantage of the strategic intent that we have at MRC. And we have got a competitive intramural funding program. And lastly, we have got our implementation plan and timelines, 2017-2021. So finally, honorable members, I would like to really take this advantage, this opportunity, to inform you about that the MRC will be turning 50 next year in 2019. So we have planned a number of events to celebrate this. And as you can see on the list, that we will have the 50th anniversary events, including the publication. We will make sure that we celebrate this event because for us, it marks the important, a significant milestone in the annals of the MRC, and it will give us the opportunity to document the history of the MRC and also to reflect on the current and the future vision of the organization. You will recall that the MRC 5-year strategic plan is coming to an end next year in 2019. So with this event, it will give us really the opportunity to reflect on our next 5-year strategic plan as we celebrate it. And it will help us to promote our partnerships and our standing as Africa's premier health research organization, nationally and internationally. So this brings me to the end of the annual report. We would like to thank you for your time and the opportunity to present this report.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Can we all remember the presentation? Question, comment? Over to you, honorable members. Honorable Kofi.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. My first question, Chair, it seems as if they've got about 17 foreign nationals at the supervision level. If maybe they can explain what type of skills they possess, and if they can also state which countries, where they are coming from, and for how long they've been employed. Again, on the same issue, Chair, if maybe they can also explain that there are 5 foreign nationals at senior level management, if they can tell us which countries also where they come from and for how long they've been there. My other question, Chair, according to the annual report that is on page 212, the AG has declared about 269,176 as an irregular expenditure, because it was spent outside the presidential procurement. What lesson did they learn from that? The other, on the same issue again, why the entity did not request the relevant information on local content on the furniture for a quotation between 30,000 and 500,000? Thank you, Chairman.
Honorable myself.
Thank you, Chair. Well, there's a lot that has been done, appreciated. But it looks like on the field of transformation, you are still not yet up to scratch. Maybe explain why it's taking almost forever to try and transform your institution. On page 16, you talk of public health innovation and drug discovery and development research. How far have you done? What progress have you made in this? And if any, can you enumerate that so that it is not just a research thing, it's something that is tangible. A lot of money spent on research and things like that. But if you keep on saying you're researching, and you don't say this is the result of your research, that this is the benefit, that looks like topsy-turvy. You pay for what you never get. So let's try to be specific at what the results are you achieving that are tangible. Does the money invested in CERN, where does it derive value? And why is it that few blacks are given this money for CERN? Is it because they don't apply or they don't qualify? Or is it lack of transformation as usual? And where is the bulk of your revenue derived from? If you can let us. The possible collaboration with Nigeria, and I see there is also one other country, African country here. Are you having the bulk of your collaboration countries in the first world countries, and Africa is just the center of research because it's plagued with all the pestilences and diseases, while the first world uses it for research purposes but not for collaboration? Why don't we collaborate more with African countries and other countries? There is collaboration with China about building a center for vaccine development. I thought by now South Africa should be leading vaccine manufacturer in Africa, if not the world. What happened along the line that we lost our capacity to build vaccines, and how far is your molecular medicine developing? Because we don't get to know exactly. We have this hazy idea that you're doing a lot of research, publications. There is a lot that is going on. Monies are spent, but we don't get you to something tangible that we can hold on and say this is what is called a breakthrough. This is something tangible that has been achieved for all this. You say 50 years next year, and what do we show for it that we can crow about for all the 50 years? Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation.
The first question would be based on how many of the graduates are employed at the public health sector. And please provide us with the demographics of the master's and PhD students who benefited from the awarding of bursaries and scholarships. And are the conditions of the bursaries and scholarships structured to ensure that graduates go to public health sectors for 2 or 3 years? If not, are there any plans to alter the conditions of the bursaries or scholarship? And then what are the reasons for the termination of the former Vice President, Professor D.C. Stephen's contract in 2016, and how much did the termination cost SAMRC? Further questions is based on the employment changes that is mentioned in the book here, but more specifically employment changes under termination type, and then more specifically resignations, and number of resignations, which is 58. I would like to know whether you have found out what are the reasons behind resignations, and what are your plans to keep further resignations taking place. If we look at under employment equity, more specifically, for the total number of employees, in brackets including employees with disabilities in each of the following occupational categories. My problem is, under occupational category, legislators, senior officials and managers, specifically on the female side, you only have 2 Africans as compared to 15 whites. Why is the gap so high? What are your plans, at least to bring the African female number more to the number of the white counterparts there? And also something that is disturbing is that African females has got the highest representative, 108 technicians and associate professors, and then as we compare them with the others. I just need to find the reasons towards that one. Also, under occupational band, you don't have any African female under your top management. It's 0. Whereas you have 2 whites. How are you going to keep this difference, 0 to 2? Even though mention was made that a lot has been done to equalize the senior management. It's not only about the senior management. Why is there a difference in top management? Because you don't only start with senior management, you start with top management. I'm just talking on behalf of the female part thereof. And lastly, slide 051, where you took us through different collaborations and stakeholder engagement. And then I never had any mention of Cuba. Any collaboration with Cuba? We have students there that are studying medicine. We have beautiful sections there where attempts are made to cure cancer and non-communicable diseases. My question is, do you have any plan to make any collaborations with Cuba, if not why? Thank you.
Honorable Marcellus.
Thanks very much, Chair. And thanks for the presentation on the MRC. Well, first I just want to get an understanding. We've been raising this thing and there seems to be no improvement. And we just want to understand why MRC is not improving on the data in terms of the causes, the leading causes of that in South Africa. Because we are 6 years behind. We're still talking about the top 10 causes of debt in South Africa, 2012. Why in 2018? How does it help us to understand the current situation if you still refer to us to 2012? And unfortunately, when the Vice President was presenting, he said this is still the situation. But if you read Stats SA 2016, mortality and causes of death in South Africa is not the same as this one. Which one is correct? Because according to government, Stats SA is the official statistical data that should be used by everybody, including yourself. But Stats SA data in terms of 2016 mortality and death rate reports, it says no. The top one, number one, it's TB. It doesn't say it's HIV. That's what it says. And even in terms of the listing from 1 to 10, it's not the same as yours. It's completely different. For example, diabetic in your case is somewhere number 5. In status A, it's on top. Somewhere around 4 or 5, somewhere there on top. I'm saying if you as the research institute, you are giving this information that is not in tandem with what the country says is the situation, how then does it help us in terms of your research in dealing, in guiding us as opposed to guide us? If you are 6 years behind, how then do you guide us? Because you're supposed to be ahead of everybody so that they're able to guide us. How do you guide us if we are 6 years behind? If you can just explain that. And your number 10 in terms of the lot of inconsistencies, when we are dealing with the issue of maternal mortality, it's 2015, but when you deal with under 5, it's 2016, and then as I've indicated, we deal with the other disease that you're non-communicable, it's 2012. So there's a lot of inconsistencies, and it doesn't help us to give a proper picture of what is the current status in South Africa. Because you're giving different years, which doesn't give us the proper picture as to where I was standing, which doesn't collate properly with Stats SA. And we've been raising this thing year in and year since we came here when you presented. We are very consistent on this 2012. We are not shifting. We are not moving. Is there a reason why you are stuck at 2012? And then coming to the issue of budgeting, is it lawful to budget for deficit? Is it allowed in terms of the law that you deliberately budget for your deficit? If it is, can you relate which section of the PFMA allows you to budget for a deficit? I don't remember anybody being allowed to budget for a deficit. And I don't remember you in the budget, when you're presenting the budget, to say, no, we request you, Parliament, to approve this budget deficit. When you're presenting your budget, there's no way where you said, no, you are budgeting for deficit. If you can just get an indication as to what are the causes. And then I see there's an increase of an increase of basic salary. And one of the reasons, which is justifiable one, and which I understand, is the one for increase of salary. And then the filling of vacant posts. Can you indicate how many vacant posts have you filled? At what level in each case? So that we understand the cost implication that has led to the increase in the budget. And then I see there's also the cost of increased temporal staff. Can just indicate how many temporal staff have you employed? And the temporal, how temporal is it? How temporal is the temporal? And why temporal? Because according to the proclamation that was made, is that once you employ somebody for 3 months, after 3 months, you either terminate the contract or you convert that into permanent. How does it work? Just explain to us so that we're in the same understanding. And then the issue of irregular expenditure as a result of a failure to follow the supply chain in terms of treasury regulation. Just to get an understanding what measures, because you have not told us what measures have you now put in place to ensure that this doesn't occur? Without, beyond the lesson that Honorable Gopal, just want to understand what measures have you put in place to make sure that this occurrence doesn't happen? And to what extent were you aware that you're violating the treasury regulation? And if you were aware, why did you do it? And if you're not aware, why were you not aware? Because you were supposed to know. Was it a deliberate or was it an oversight? Or what exactly led to this thing? Why did you do that? Just to have an understanding. And then coming to the issue of human resource, just to, on slide 14, where you are saying senior management by race, under the year, you have repeated 2016, 2017. So I'm not sure whether this represents 2017, 18. Repeated as one, but the figures are different. But different as the figures as they are, there is stagnation. Different as the figures they are, but there is stagnation if you look in terms of the numbers. Colors have gone down, Africans are still the same, Indians are still the same. It means there's resignations in those senior management positions by white and colored, and there is no filling of those positions. That's the implication that I'm getting. What could be the reason for not filling those and the process that the Honourable Maisela is around trying to make sure that you address the issue of, and what Honourable Tembewa has raised, addressing the issue of transformation in the context of gender and race as a key priority, having these vacancies that are there. And then on the collaboration, just to understand, because if you say collaboration, it's fine, it's collaboration, but what is it? What is it? We want to understand, yes, you're collaborating with all those countries, but what is it that we've done this year? Because you are reporting under this year. You should have told us that, no, we had collaboration, it's fine, but these are the activities that we've engaged upon this financial year on this collaborative. Because you tell us that we've got collaboration, it's fine, then what? It's not helping us. Just take us on board so that you understand with no, yeah, this collaboration, like you have reflected on one or two, like you said, for example, you had a workshop, for example, you hosted a workshop on January 2018, but I thought you would also elaborate what was the content of the workshop. You hosted the third BRICS TB research, like you have indicated, that's fine. But we don't understand what the other collaboration has been there for some time. India with and all those countries, but you're not telling us this year because you're reporting for this year. While you had collaboration started as far back as 2-3 years back, but what were the activities for this financial year? Because that's what you're reporting now. This is what we've been doing this financial year. And then last year, under communication, the communication is mainly to the elite. There's no communication that deals with ordinary people. You're too far from the public. Because I don't see anything that says communication with ordinary people, so that they also, or you are thinking because it's science, it's so complicated for them, they don't have a right to understand what you're doing as MRC. But I don't see any engagement with ordinary stakeholders as part of your communication, so that they understand what are the issues that you're doing as MRC and how they should benefit. If there's any beneficiation from them, if you can just clarify that issue. Yeah, thanks very much.
No, thank you. Thank you, honorable members. If that mic can be switched off, so that was it affects not the other one. Just two areas which I would like, before I just ask a question, two areas which I would like to labor on is the latter that has been asked by Honorable Mahlalela. And we have been raising this, and we'd like the department to take note of this. We've always been trying very hard to impress to the South African Medical Research Council that it is not an entity that is above ordinary people. The work that you are doing is for the benefit of them. But they are not involved. I don't know that it's the nature of research or it's the nature of scientists and academics that they always do the work above the heads of the ordinary people. Because we are representing those people. And therefore the work that you are doing must assist us. And I really take that very seriously. Because we have been saying this since 2014. The other two, which really I would like you to either communicate with the National Department of Health. It can't be that in your list of the killer disease in the country, TB is at somewhere when we have been. We stand up and say openly that TB is killer number one. It's either there is no communication. We have asked this question. And I don't know if it's a coincidence. It was in the same room that we asked if is there any communication between you and other entities that are dealing with issues of health, SA States, South Africa. We asked that question. And the reason that we asked that question is precisely because we wouldn't like to have an entity that talks past other institutions that are talking about issues of research. So please, good people, please, we, personally, I don't know with other members, I must not have that fear that, again, the institutions that think that science, research, technology, is for the betterment of ideas. It's for an ordinary woman in the rural areas. That is too high for her. No, it can't be. Because she or he must understand what then is the role and the responsibility of this institution to change his or her social condition. Which brings me to, because some of the questions have been asked, which brings me to page 48, it's pictures. Those pictures in page 48, where is that school? Because I've been trying very hard last night to try to check, page 48 is about, page 47 in fact. Where is that rural area? Or is it just a picture for me to think that you are doing that? There is no indication in this that it is a rural area at a province called Eastern Cape, Edutwa. And when was that done? Or just a picture? to make us feel good. And if you can, if my apologies, if I can miss, I have missed that, which takes me to page 64 of your hard copy document. The innocent face is there. Where is that face? Where is it? And the last one is on page 70. Where are those students? Where are they coming from? Which school, which area, which province, which grade are they in? I'm raising this because it has always, back to my initial comment, it has always been that please reach out, make us feel comfortable that you are talking with the ordinary people. It can't just be a picture, but it must be a picture that we are able, when we go and make an example, I'm assuming that these pictures may be in the Western Cape, it's just an example. If we conduct an oversight, in fact, if we are to communicate with the basic education, we're able to say the South African Medical Research visited at school X. Please try and check, because it can't just be pictures and presentation for the sake of that. It's because we are to make a follow-up. We are to, so that we're able to come back to you, as Honorable Mashalela has said, that we're in 2018, but you are referring to 2012. How are you to assist even the department? Okay, let me put this. How are you to assist the executive in ourselves? So it's a question and some of the comments. What we'll do is that we are going to have a 10-minute break. Tea is outside. Sort yourselves out who's going to respond on what. We're not going to be prescriptive, but when after that 10 minutes, we will, if you want to join us for, if you'll be done by that, join us for tea, then we'll come back and get the response from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Which venue was changed?
This one. I need to.
You did not read domestic people. I thought E249. Check. E249.